the She's Becoming Domestic podcast, a place for modern moms to listen, laugh, learn, and love the crazy life she leads. Here's Shanasty and Brad.
Welcome in, everybody, to the She's Becoming Domestic podcast. We have not recorded in a while. We've had a little bit of a dry spell, but it's all for good reason. I'm Shanasty Ireland, and I'm joined by my good friend, Brad Radisi in Alabama. Hey, Brad.
Yeah, the holidays, particularly Christmas time, really threw a wrench in our plans. Plus, we had to wiggle in what to do with this big beast that was almost a year in the making and what we're going to talk about today. So yeah, it's been a while, but it's good to be back.
I feel like part of us, you know, we had this huge secret, you know, me and you and your wife, Carrie, and my cousin and her husband had been planning this huge surprise for Jeff for probably 8 months, maybe even a year. And it was just, I felt creepy, like going behind his back trying to scheme this thing, but we pulled it off. And for anybody that's like, what are you guys talking about? We just returned from Montana, and all of us knew about this trip. And my husband, Jeff, is turning 40, actually next week, technically. And about 5 years ago, he told me that if I ever threw him a surprise 40th birthday party, it could quite literally be grounds for divorce. He just does not like parties or anything where a bunch of people are like, you know, jumping out of the woodwork with balloons and hoopla. So he told me that for his 40th birthday, the only thing he wanted to do was to go to Montana and be there with his favorite people. And his favorite people, of course, are Natalie and Jordan, and you and Carrie, and his brother and my sister-in-law. Unfortunately, they couldn't make it. But I started planning about 8 months ago, like, how can we pull this thing off? And you and Carrie, well, first of all, when I presented it to you guys, I mean, there was no hesitation.
No, and as we've talked about before, Carrie gets all the credit. If an idea presents itself, she books the stuff like the next day. There's no waiting. There's no, well, what if it falls through? We were prepared to be out in Montana by ourselves if it came down to that.
Well, you know, there were just so many things that could have prevented us from doing this trip. Obviously, the big one, the pandemic we're currently in, and travel, and how we were going to make it all work. But we made it all work, and the way that, because Jeff books all of our travel, Jeff is Carrie in my family, I couldn't get away with just booking these plane tickets and him having no idea. So about, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I said to him, I said, hey, I think we're going to go to Montana with Natalie and Jordan, who's my cousin and my cousin's husband, no kids. And he's like, oh, this is great. Perfect. Let's do it. And so we booked the plane tickets and we booked all of the accommodations, and you and Carrie were already booked. You guys were already going, like you mentioned, you know, you were come hell or high water, you were going to be there. And he had no idea. He had absolutely, I know Carrie kept texting me thinking Jeff has to have a clue that we're out there, right?
Right.
And, you know, because you guys went before us.
Yeah. So you came in. So our thing was, hey, we're going to do this birthday deal, but while we're out there, who knows when we'll get back. We kind of expanded our trip a little bit to see things other than Montana.
Right. So you guys flew in on Saturday, and we didn't fly in until Wednesday. So we can talk about the big surprise first, and then we can talk about everything that you guys did. Brad, you are the master of creating. You're creative, super creative. And you had this master plan of how we were going to do this big reveal. My idea was just to have you guys standing at the airport in disguise with a sign that said his name. But that was not good enough for you. So talk about what went into the planning of surprising Jeff and how it all went down.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, that would have worked just fine. But, you know, we were logistically talking about cars. Do we go here? Do we go there? So just to kind of put all that to bed, typically when we have these big family get togethers, we create these preview videos that gets everybody hyped up and excited for our upcoming trip. So I was like, well, why break tradition there? So what we did was, again, a myriad of about 100 texts. You guys landed. I said, tell me when you get in the car. You guys get in the car because it's about a 10, 15 minute car ride. And long story short, you get in front. We meet in front of this this bar, essentially, one of the local watering holes that you guys always visit. So it kind of threw them off the scent. It would not be unusual for you to go there. Carrie and I are across the street in our SUV rental in the back seat, since the windows are tinted, hunkered down so you can't see us. And about 20 minutes before we went in and we explained to the bartender, hey, these two couples are coming in. We even showed pictures. I said, can you tell them this first round is on Brad and Carrie from Birmingham? Their name is Shanti and Jeff. And God bless Katie. She kept nodding her head, yes, yes, and yes. And I'm like, hey, maybe I'll write this down for you. She's like, okay. So I write it all down. And I give her, you know, I tip her. So we see you guys coming down the street. And, you know, talk about, I looked at Carrie and I'm like, God, I'm like really nervous. And you guys get in the bar. And at that time, the bar had been quiet until just that very moment. So some music played. But again, I texted him this video, which kind of alerted him that we were at least knowledgeable of this trip. And then we walked in the door and his face was priceless.
Oh, it was the best thing ever. So you say you were nervous. Natalie and I are texting each other. Me and you and Natalie are in a group text and we are so nervous. Like, how are we going to pull this off? Because Jeff and Jordan was in on it as well, but they both were like, well, let's stop at the grocery store. Let's load up on drinks and let's load up on food. And Natalie and I were like, no, let's get to the crystal. Let's just get to the crystal. And Jeff's like, wow, like you are really anxious to get to the bar. Right. I mean, I was so nervous. And then I was just thinking, oh my gosh, what if we parked on the same side of the street as you all did and we had to walk past your vehicle? I don't know. A million things could have gone wrong. But we walk into the crystal. If you're from Bozeman or if you have been to Bozeman before, you're probably familiar with this place. I don't even know how many years it's been in business, but we've been going out to Bozeman for about 20 years. And it's always just been a, like you mentioned, it's just a go-to. We always have to stop there. So we walk in and sit at a table and the music is so loud out of nowhere. I said to Natalie and Jordan, I've never, ever, ever heard the music this loud. I don't know what it was. And you kept telling me he's got to hear the audio of this video. And I'm like, great. Well, he's not going to be able to hear it. So I don't know how we're going to pull this off. And the waitress or the bartender, as you mentioned, very nice, was very confused.
She almost blew it. In fact, you were texting us saying she didn't say anything that you said she was going to say. So
nope.
We weren't going to tolerate it. So we called her.
I know. So the phone rings and I know it's Carrie. Carrie being like, well, I'm just going to call her. So the phone rings and I looked over at Natalie and I was like, I think that's Brad and Carrie on the phone. And you were like, I don't know. You or Carrie was like, hey, walk over to them and say, this is on Brad and Carrie.
Right.
She walks over to
them. There's a little history there because through the years, we have tracked each other down during birthdays or anniversaries and surprised one another with drinks out of the blue.
Yes, totally. Usually I go through Kristen, your oldest, to try to figure out where you guys are at.
It'd be kind of weird if I was texting Luke.
Oh, I couldn't even tell my kids that this surprise was happening because I knew they'd blow it.
Hey, Luke, where are mommy and daddy tonight? Oh, gosh. Oh. It's okay. You can tell Uncle Brad.
Right. So creepy. Oh, so she finally walks over and she goes, hey, this first round is on Brad and Carrie. And Jeff looks over at me and goes, oh, you know, the whole typical, wow. And then he kept going, how would they have any idea we're here? And I was like, oh, well, they know we were coming to Bozeman. And he goes, but did they know when we were going to land? And I was like, yeah, you know, I was texting them, letting them know. And he goes, well, how would they know we're at this bar at this particular moment? So at that time, Natalie and I text you and we're like, he's asking too many questions. Send the video. So you send the video and I was like, hey, Jeff, you should watch this video. And he was like, oh, okay. He texted me right now. Let me watch this. And of course, we can't hear anything.
Right.
But he thought that you just created a video for our trip. And he was like, oh, that's so nice. You know, da, da, da. And then I text you guys. I'm like, you need to walk in the door because there's too many questions. Typical Jeff with a million questions. And I have that video and it's my favorite video of all time because when he saw you all walk in the door, he looks over at me like, are you kidding me? I mean, just are you kidding me? And he was in shock. We were all sitting there in shock, even though I knew it was happening, for probably 15 minutes.
Oh man, even when we walked out and we're walking down the street, it was still like, I can't believe we are all here.
Yeah, yeah.
And particularly, the problem was we had a couple trips on the schedule for 2020. COVID threw a wrench in our plans, like the planets. So this was a long time coming.
It was a long, we haven't seen you guys in almost 2 years. And that,
yeah.
And we've been away from Birmingham now for 9 years. And for 9 years, we've seen each other once, if not twice, sometimes three times a year. So it was crazy. And Jeff told me repeatedly, it was the greatest surprise ever, the greatest birthday ever. He still is talking about, he told me, he's like, you know, you could have a million affairs and I would have no idea because he was so, right. He was so in the dark.
Oh man, kudos to you guys, yeah. for sure.
But it was fun. So we finally all get together and kind of just talk about, you know, what you guys had done previously, because as we mentioned earlier, you guys had been there for a couple of days and you guys got to explore some places that I've never even been before. So why don't you talk about your and Carrie's trip leading up to the big surprise?
Yeah, boy, you know, we flew into Bozeman and the flights weren't terrible. You know, it was Birmingham to Dallas, Dallas to Bozeman. And so we get there, we spent the night in Bozeman because we got in late, got up the next morning. And so the drive from Bozeman, we went down to Jackson Hole. And for two Florida kids like Carrie and I, driving in January in Montana through Idaho and Wyoming, to us, it was like ice road truckers, right?
Right.
Because the roads are icy, they're slushy, and when you hit this tip of Yellowstone, A, you lose all cell service, and B, it's just snowing.
Right.
So we make it down to Jackson Hole, and you had presented us a great list of places to hit up. So we went to the Snake River Restaurant, I believe that's what it's called. Snake River Grill. And that's routinely voted like the top restaurant in Wyoming. It was fantastic. We did the $1 million. I'm just paraphrasing these locations. The $1 million bar, I think it's Cowboy Bar. That was phenomenal. And we just hung out there for a few days. And the big thing for us was, of course, Yellowstone is staring right at you. And what we didn't realize when we were questioning about Yellowstone was this time of year, the only way you can get in and out of the park is through snowmobile. So we had to make a big decision. Do we want to go on this big snowmobile excursion? And the answer ultimately came down to once in a lifetime experience, you have to do it.
Right.
So, and honestly, we left it up to fate because we weren't sure if there were any openings because apparently they book up pretty quick. And we're like, well, hey, if they have a slot open, we'll take it. We'll just leave it to the Yellowstone gods. So we did it. It was like a 6 a.m. They pick you up at 6 a.m. You get done at 6 p.m. It was Carrie and I and our guide, Jim. And he did an awesome job. And you literally snowmobile about 100 miles. It's about 40 to Old Faithful. You see it go off. And the neat thing about that was typically thousands gather around Old Faithful in the summer to watch it go off. We had maybe 45, 50 people.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've only been in the summer and there's just hundreds and hundreds of, and you could still see it, but I would imagine seeing it with a lot less people is a lot more of an intimate experience.
Oh, it was neat. And it's really like having this big national park to yourself. So you're, he takes you to all, like, you know, the waterfalls, the, where the, this is such a layman term, where the water's boiling and there's other geysers. You get to see some bison. All in all, just a solid 12-hour day. And by the start of it, I joked with Jim, you know, we were kind of going about 30 miles an hour on the snowmobile. When he's bringing us back, we're about up to 50. And you start thinking to yourself, I can't believe I am in the middle of Yellowstone Park on a snowmobile going about 50 miles an hour. Because those things, if you've never been on one, they kind of shimmy back and forth as you hit the tracks in front of you. So it's, you know, it was super fun. We just had a great time in Jackson Hole and Yellowstone and, of course, Bozeman.
Yeah. Well,
where,
yeah, I mean, and we and I should say it was very cold. I think the when you started that morning, what did Jim say the temperature was?
Oh, man, it was definitely -3, but felt like -20.
Ugh.
But let me just say this, and it sounds crazy. And maybe it's because we had so many layers on, but the cold wasn't as cold as I thought it was. And maybe that's because of the humidity. You know, 20 degrees raining here feels more miserable than than dry up there.
That's one of the wonderful things about Montana and Wyoming and all of those states that see a significant amount of snowfall and see very frigid temperatures. People just get out. They get outside. And I love that. It's, you know, you layer up, you put on all of your gear, and you just get out and enjoy it.
Oh, the skiers, you know, that was the one thing we really noticed from day one at the lodge. Was we caught the tail end of the AFC and NFC championship games. And that ski crowd is just kind of a different crowd. Like you said, they don't care about the cold. They come in from the cold, sit at the bar. Then it's just like a big after ski party. Yeah. And that was pretty unique to see.
Hey, speaking of skiing, maybe we should...
yeah.
Oh, gosh. So let's put a little light on this. We decided, actually, Jeff really wanted to go skiing. He mentioned it before, obviously, he knew about the big surprise and all of this stuff. I didn't even realize this till we were out there. He's a skier. He knows how to ski. He's, I guess, pretty good at it. And so he had mentioned, hey, since we don't have the kids, let's try to go skiing. And where we were staying in Bozeman, Bridger Canyon was about 15 minutes away. And that's a really great place to ski if you don't want to go all the way to Big Sky. Because in Bozeman, where we were staying, Big Sky is a solid hour away. And just to go skiing for the day, it's, you know, it would just take up a lot of time. I'm not saying Big Sky is not great, but when Bridger Canyon's so close, it just makes a lot more sense. So I texted Brad and Carrie and I said, hey, we're going skiing. And I'll never forget, your response was just, I'm just going to enjoy the lodge.
Yeah. And I also added a Sonny Bono joke, because that would be me. Right. But of course, Carrie's all for it. She used to ski pretty regularly. Now it's been 20 years, you know, with kids and everything, but she was on board from the moment the text came in.
Right. And Brad and I, neither one of us had ever skied before. Now, I would like to say, because I'm sure if my mom's listening to this, which she probably isn't, but when I was in high school, I went on a trip to Canada and everybody was skiing and everyone was like, oh, you'll be fine. You know, you're an athlete, you'll be fine. They stuck me on some skis, no direction whatsoever. And it was miserable. I cried. I think that like the tears froze to my face. It was terrible. So I don't really count that as an experience of skiing. And it's funny because 20 some years later, I was crying with you in the snow.
Some of it laughter, some of it legit just failure.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, you know, we we had stayed up a little too late the night before, all of us. So I was feeling a little unwell. I think all of us were a little shaky that morning.
Yes.
But we get to the lodge, which was beautiful, by the way. I loved that place. We ended up going again later after you and Carrie had left. But we show up. You know, the people there are so nice. And they're like, oh, have you ever skied before? And I'm like, what's – I mean, we just looked so amateur from the very beginning.
It's like, now where do I click this boot in?
Oh, yeah. Never done that before in our lives. So we get on the skis and Carrie and Jeff are gone. Okay. They're like, here's the bunny hill. You guys will be fine. And they left.
And then Jordan swoops down on a snowboard. Right. And I'm like,
hey guys, what's up? I don't even know where Natalie is. She's already gone down like 7 times, but they left. And I, Brad and I could not even get up to the magic carpet or the conveyor belt or whatever you want to call it.
We were calling it the conveyor belt tunnel. Yeah. We were later corrected that it's the magic carpet. And we're sitting around the equipment rack. And, you know, and let me predicate this. And I'm not bragging. Like, I'm a decent athlete.
Yeah, same.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I couldn't even move forward. And this was like 5 minutes, and I was just like, I have no idea. And hey, our great siblings who are skiers, not a single quickie lesson.
No, nothing. Not even the pizza or whatever it's called that you're supposed to do.
Oh, someone taught us about pizza. We'll let you know in a second.
We'll let you know about that. So I don't think it was 5 minutes, Brad. I'm going to go ahead and say it was a solid 15 or maybe 20 minutes before we get up to this magic carpet. And
it got so bad that the guy who is running the magic carpet comes out and says, go sideways. Thank you, sir.
I'm laughing so hard. I keep reaching my pole back to Brad to try to get him up to the magic carpet, and then I slide right back to where he is.
Yeah, we didn't think that through too well.
We just looked so stupid. Finally, we get up to this magic carpet, which was kind of scary. We've never been on skis in our entire lives.
And they're so restrictive.
They really are. So we finally get up to the top of this bunny hill, which, by the way, that was an advanced bunny hill. That was.
Yeah, it was only till later when Jeff said, you know, guys, we probably should have started you on that little hill.
Right. And Brad and Carrie have been up and down the thing. I don't know how many times. So finally we get off the thing. And we're at the top, and Brad, I mean, there's only one way down at this point, right? You can't ride the magic carpet back down. So,
yeah, as we're standing there, like, these two little kids emerge from the magic carpet and a mom, and we're just like, go ahead, kids. We're going to be here thinking for a second. They go down, then we follow them.
We follow them. You
know what? After 20 feet, when we picked up some steam, we crashed.
Yeah, you fell. I was thinking to myself, don't trip over his pole. Don't trip over his pole. I trip over your pole. My ski flies off. I'm rolling. And then this mom turns around and screams at us.
Pizza! Pizza! Don't you know about pizza?
I know. And we're like, oh my gosh. And we're laughing so hard. And she was really angry. And it was like, we weren't joking around. We literally had never been on skis before in our entire lives.
We just went.
So I'm like, I'm sorry. Okay, fine. Finally, I think I got up.
Yes.
You couldn't get up for a while.
Because my skis were connected and I'm like laying like on my back.
And meanwhile, we should say there are 2 and 3 year olds whizzing by us on skis.
We compared it to when you go to the roller rink and, you know, you're kind of just squirting along and then speed team comes by and they're just doing everything.
Right. Skating backwards, doing flips, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Finally, we get back up again. And I don't know if we'd seen Jeff yet at this point or not, But I just remember at one point looking over at him and like my laughter tears have now turned to like real tears because I'm so angry that nobody even told us anything. Not one thing.
And somehow we managed after we got up to get down the hill and you had kind of just crashed.
Yeah.
And I'm coming in hot and I'm like, I just can't run over her. And the only thing between you, me to the right is this fence. So I just, I'm like, the only thing that's going to stop me now is crashing into this fence. So I crashed into the fence. Multiple workers run over.
You're tangled up in the blue fence.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was like an Olympic disaster.
Oh my gosh. I just keep replaying it. Unfortunately, Natalie had just missed it. She pulled out her phone to try to record it. I so desperately now wish that she had that video.
Oh. That's where I promptly, after he helped me up, I said, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. We remove our skis and walk down to our safe zone, which is the equipment rack.
Right. And even walking was like, you know, you're walking like a ancient cowboy, but not on purpose.
Oh my gosh.
And I'll give Jeff credit.
Yeah.
He's the one who kind of life coached us back onto the skis.
He really did.
And we made it back up the magic carpet. And when we got on the little kiddie hill, we enacted pizza. And it was getting a little bit better.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And if it wasn't for Jeff, 100% you and I would have been in that ski lodge three beers deep because he really was like, guys, we've got to do this again. You've got to do it again. Otherwise, you'll never do it again. Because it was traumatic. It was very traumatic. But we did it. We enacted pizza, as you said. We probably went up and down that little tiny kiddie hill, I don't know, maybe seven or eight times.
Yeah, then it came time to be like, all right, let's do the big hill that defeated us before. Yeah. And you know, you looked great for about 90% of it.
So the very end where I crashed back into the fence on the other side. I should have crashed into the one where you put a hole in it because the side that I crashed in just boomeranged me back. I fall straight on my back. The skis are up in the air. Little kids are whizzing by. I see you inching down like a turtle, but you were smart.
After I saw you crash, I'm like, no, I'm going to go. I don't care if I look like the biggest baby. I'm just my skis look like I'm walking like John Elway. Just freaking inward, inching down the slope.
Oh my goodness. But we finally get down that. And then we said, okay, we're done.
Yeah. This, and when we said that, the other thing was, I'm just like sweating like a freaking pig. Yeah. I'm like, why am I sweating so much?
We stripped down all of our clothes, basically just dripping sweat. And of course,
it's like 10 degrees out.
And of course, with COVID, you know, we have to have our masks. And so in the elevation, it's hard to breathe anyway. When you're not used to that elevation, it's difficult to breathe. But yeah, at that point, we're sweating pigs and we just decided to hit the ski lodge. And that's where we were for the rest of the day.
Yes. And, you know, the true skiers stayed out. So I was happy for them. They got what they wanted. And we got what we wanted, which was just a couple good cold drinks.
Right, right. But that was fun. That was a really, really fun day. I think that was a highlight. And then the second highlight that I want to mention about just our small little group happened around 1 a.m. one day. Or one evening. One morning. Early morning, I should say. Maybe it was midnight.
It was our final night. At least for us. You guys left a couple days later.
Our final night, we had a good snow that day. It wasn't a several feet snow, but it was a good solid snow, and it was really fluffy snow, powdery snow, whatever the skiers call it. I don't know. And we had where we were staying, there's a very, very long driveway. So around midnight.
Sloped, very sloped.
Very sloped. Around midnight, I guess it was. And I don't even know. It might have been Natalie who was like, you guys want to go sledding down the driveway? And we're like, sure, okay, that sounds fun. Not really thinking anything of it.
Yeah, 10 minutes later, when she had disappeared, we're like, you know, this is probably a bad idea.
Right.
It's pretty cold out. We're flying out in the morning.
Right.
And then Natalie burst through the door, head to toe in ski gear.
Yes.
With a sled. And it would be like disappointing your daughter on Christmas morning.
I mean, she was ready to go. She's like, all right, guys, let's do this. And we were, you and I were both like, oh, okay, I guess we're really doing this. And yeah. That was the most fun. I think for me, that was the highlight of the trip. We were out there sledding that driveway for probably, what, hour and a half?
At least.
At least.
And it was super fun. Like, I don't know if, A, I hadn't probably been on a sled since I was 10.
Right.
And then B, you know, I haven't laughed that hard since I was with Jeff in Cozumel trying to climb a big floaty at Mr. Sancho's beach.
Yeah, now that is a story for another day. But it was so fun because we were going so fast down that driveway and just totally wiping out. I mean,
well, that was the neat thing. Like, the driveway was really ice, but then off the breakaway there was probably about, what do you think, 8 to 10 inches of snow
at least. Yeah,
at least. The only thing you had to dodge were these snow markers, which could smack you in the face.
I think I knocked over a few of those. I'm still bruised from the whole thing.
The only thing still bruised for me is my ego, but I'm getting over it.
We pretty shredded quick. It down that
Oh, I will say my friends have been thoroughly impressed with our sledding videos, so that makes me feel a little bit better.
I know. Oh, goodness, I've got a little helper here. I've got a little Jude here.
Well, it's perfect timing, Jude. We're wrapping up, buddy.
We are wrapping up. So, Brad, I just want to thank you and Carrie again for making that trip happen. It was the ultimate birthday. It was the ultimate trip. It was the ultimate surprise. And the good news is we're going to get to do it again soon.
Even better is your kids are so happy to see you, they just can't let you get through a podcast. So that's ultimately the good.
I know. So we'll be in Destin with you guys in about a month. And
a month, yeah.
I propose that we actually sit down and do the podcast with Jeff and Carrie.
Yes, we should do that. And maybe we should tackle water skiing.
Water skiing. How about that? Well, I think Jude has had enough of me being gone from this, but it's been fun. And I think that you guys need to come back to Montana again, maybe in the summer next time. It's a completely different experience. And for anyone that has been asking, I am going to blog about all the must-dos, the must-sees, the must-stays, everything you need to do out in Montana. And that should be on my website at shesbecomingdomestic.com. But for now, thank you, Brad.
See you guys.
And thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk again soon.